This is Sportsline on WRMJ.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Going to launch a three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
614-0-RUN in Galesburg. Your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
And by office specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more.
She throws the first three in a row for Lockridge!
Now, from the WRMJ studios in downtown Aledo, here's Jim Taylor with Sportsline.
It is the WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning, a tradition that started back in 1979. The only thing that has changed is we're at the downtown Aledo studios as traffic flies by on a Saturday morning. If you're scoring at home, next week's show is going to be at 8:15.
Maybe a little earlier. We're going to try and get the 8 o'clock news done early.
So, You know what we should do next week? We should ask Alex Johnson, Jordan Harris, and Tim Seedam to come in studio next Saturday.
Yeah, but morning. There's not enough time for that, is there?
Well,
we don't have enough mics.
Either.
We only have four.
And then they kick them out at 9:01 because they're like, I got bits
right.
of bargains on you.
Yeah, for sure. We should, but that's a lot to ask. So
get them get them one donut from Mercer Market, a glazed donut.
That's about all we can afford, I suppose.
So you'll be heading to Riverton, Illinois. Is that outside of Springfield exactly?
Yeah.
Where is that? What, about 3 hours?
Two
and a half hours for the Riverton shootout. That's where Mike Tisdale, former Illinois player, was at. So we get another look at one of the top teams in state in Breeze Central today, about a 7 o'clock broadcast. That's the last game of the shootout, so the marquee game. Breeze Central number one, and I know you were telling me off the air that they've put together an impressive resume schedule-wise, and then kind of their scoring stats defensively have been pretty impressive too.
Yeah, they allow just 32 points per game through 29 games, and then they haven't allowed in the 50s one time all season, which is really impressive. I mean, to do that night in, night out, and like you said, they play a pretty tough schedule. Their two losses are to Centralia in Richland County, who are both 3A schools. Some of their wins recently, they beat Breeze Modern Day, they beat Peoria Notre Dame, they beat Columbia all in a row. And then also speaking at that shootout, the game before the Rockridge Breeze Central game is kind of an interesting 2A game too, with Peoria Notre Dame playing Columbia, who are two teams that have had really solid seasons too. So there'll be some good basketball, and I think for Rockridge it's nice. You know, you look at the last three Saturdays, what they've played heading into the postseason is Beecher, who's the last team undefeated in the state. They played Rock Island last Saturday. And then today, of course, against Breeze Central, who's number one in 2A and has spent most of the season ranked number one.
All right. So you said Centralia 3A team, and then said who's the other
Richland
team?
County.
Richland County. All right. So Rockridge, again, as you indicated, a great way to finish the season. Now, they wrap up regular season play next week with who? They got a couple of games. Oh, they play IVC, right?
In Alleman.
In Alleman. And then kind of I know one of the games last week, IVC really got rolled by the Macomb Bombers. It was a mercy rule game. And IVC, we saw them over at the Sherrard Holiday Tournament. They were pretty competitive with, you know, Byron, a top 10 team. So, you know, maybe kind of the hottest team coming into that subsectional complex is Macomb.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Bombers picked up a big win last night over Camp Point Central, who's a really good team, and they mercy ruled IVC earlier this week. So,
and beat Rock Falls last week.
Yeah, and so you want to talk about the regional, or subsectional pairings as we are ready for that here in a couple of weeks.
Well, yeah, it looks like, you know, you look at the two regionals that, you know, we'll be covering. I think five teams in the subsectional will have 20 win regular seasons. Kewaunee got their 20th win last night. Mercer County already has 20. Rock Ridge has more than 20. And then Macomb has more than 20. Sherrard, I think, is at 19 right now, but I assume they'll probably get their 20th win before the end of the regular season. So you look at both regionals, really. I mean, you look at what the semifinal games probably will be. At Monmouth, it'll be Rock Ridge and Monmouth-Roseville most likely. And then also Mercer County will likely play Orion. And then the other side is Macomb probably against Farmington. And then Sherrard is definitely playing Kewaunee. Where you look at like the lower seeds in those games, like if it's Farmington beat Macomb in the regular season. If it's Mercer County, Orion beat Mercer County in the regular season too, you know. And then even like Monmouth-Roseville played Rock Ridge to a really close game a couple weeks ago. So I think, you know, the regional semifinal round will be really exciting, where I think all four games at those two regionals will be very competitive, and probably most of them will probably come down to the wire, I would think.
All right, and Eagles last night got off to a little bit of a slow start on senior night, but of course rolled in the second half and took care of Galva. So what about Mercer County Golden Eagle basketball? Survived the scare against Princeville earlier this week.
Yeah, they've won 14 in a row, and I think they're playing well, but to me it's just kind of difficult to really get a read on how well, just because, you know, I don't think the Lincoln Trail is very strong, honestly. But to win 14 games in a row, I mean, that's tough to do no matter who you're playing. So I think they're playing really well. I think they're definitely a threat to win a regional championship. I know for them and for anybody, it'll be tough to beat Rock Ridge, right? That's who they would likely play in the regional championship. But I like the way it's going. I think early in the season, it was kind of shaky early, you know, through the first month or so. But after, basically, once they got to the Christmas tournament, I mean, they've only lost one game since they got to the holiday tournament, which was to Beecher in a game where they were leading in the fourth quarter, you know. So I think they're playing really well. I think, though, like last year, you know, when you get to the postseason, it's a big step up in competition, no matter who you're playing, you know. I hope that they learned something from that experience last season, right, where they got knocked off by Erie Prophetstown early in the regional. So I'm very high on them. I think that they can give Rock Ridge a game for sure in the regional championship. I'm not going to say right now that they're going to beat them, right? But I think if they can get there, that should be a really highly competitive game at Monmouth-Roseville, which will make it even weirder too, right? Playing, and that's the other thing, playing the regional in that gym, you know, who knows what'll happen with that aspect of things. But I did say last night on the broadcast, that was the last Friday night game for Mercer County in the LTC. It was against Galva. So, and then the next Friday night conference game they'll play will be the Rock Ridge, Sherrard, Monmouth-Roseville, Orion, or Riverdale. Doesn't that sound more fun, you think? I think there'll be a little more people in the gym when that happens too. But
yeah, well, and you bring up the fact about that kind of regional setup. You know, you call it a regional because of the subsectional situation, but you know, it's interesting because Rock Ridge is going to have to play Monmouth-Roseville on their home
floor. Likely.
Yeah. Monmouth-Roseville plays Alleman, right?
Correct.
And then
yeah.
Orion, who?
Knoxville.
Yeah. And then, you know, I said on the broadcast, and mind you, Orion's getting beat by 30 by Rock Ridge, but I still think Orion is a dangerous team because they shoot a lot of threes. Yeah.
They won at Monmouth-Roseville last night. I think outside of the Rock Ridge game, you know, Thursday, they've been playing pretty well recently. I know they got a win over Farmington. They
had a nice win over Morrison, who beat Sherrard.
And they lost to Morrison earlier in the season, too, so they avenged that loss. But, yeah, I think for them, their season's been kind of interesting because they got off such a great start, you know, and then they had a couple of weird losses where they lost to United and Galva, who have not had very successful seasons. And then, like you said, you know, they've kind of, outside of the game with Rock Ridge where they got just buried because Rock Ridge is hitting three after three after three after three on them, they played, you know, pretty well recently. So, like I said, you know, if that's who Mercer County plays, I mean, they're going to have to play well to beat Orion, for sure.
Yeah, because if you shoot a lot of threes and the nights you miss them, you're going to get rolled like you did Tuesday night against Rock Ridge. You make them, it's a whole different ballgame.
And that was like when Mercer County played them the first time, they were hitting threes, and it's just, you know, That's when they hit shots, they look really, really good. When they don't, you know, it's they don't look very good, and that's kind of the just how they play, you know. But I do think that Orion, they have three guards that I think are all really good players, so they're an interesting kind of X-factor team. I remember Coach Johnson said before Sherrard played them the second time, he described them as like scary because of the way they play, you know. And that game, Sherrard got up by 14, and then I think Orion made six threes in a row after that to close the gap and took the lead for them. They ended up losing, but you know they can get on those crazy runs where they're throwing everything in. So yeah, they're kind of an interesting team to watch in the postseason, I think.
So you said scary, and that that made me think of the high school football season. One of my favorite words always in pregame interviews is with Coach Graves.
Right.
And you know what the word
yeah,
he always
spooky.
Said? Yeah, I love when he says that, man. I wonder if he's up yet.
Yeah, he probably is.
Hello.
Well, they're having Graves. A signing day thing at Rock Ridge. Hannah Graves is going to Western.
To play golf.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yep. Congratulations to her.
All right. So I was texting back and forth earlier today with Lucas Smith, the head wrestling coach of Rock Ridge. So you can go ahead. Do you want to? You can go ahead and ask me who's my favorite high school wrestler.
It's Ryan Lower.
Ryan Lower. Yep. Is that your favorite?
Yeah,
wrestler
me too.
Too?
Yep.
And people are going absolutely bananas saying, what, you can't say that you have a favorite wrestler? Well, I do. It's Ryan Lower.
Yeah.
So everybody's like, well, he's saying, well, because he's related to me.
Yeah,
but anyway.
Just like last year, my favorite basketball player was Owen Relander.
Yeah, that's right. So I see Thomas Sowards, who wears number 0 on the football field, the great Jude Finch, and Ryan Lower in the semis. And I need to understand wrestling lingo a little bit better because I don't. The Bach kid for Rock Ridge and the McCaig kid, as Lucas Smith says, on the backside. So I don't know if that means they're in the wrestle backs. I haven't heard how Mercer County's doing. I don't know what they're at the Olympia sectional. So if somebody knows, they can text us.
And then Orion is at the Byron sectional as well.
Yeah, that's what. And then good luck to Bree Bynum and Nadia Anderson.
And Moo.
Yeah, Moo, they're at the Geneseo sectional today trying to get to IHSA state. Now, I see the IHSA, they had in their board minutes, and they've kept it kind of hush-hush. They're having a press event, I think, later next week, but it was included in their IHSA board notes that they're moving. They're going to make the official announcement later, but they're going to move forward with an official state tournament series in flag football for girls athletes that is going to be a fall sport. So I'm curious to see when the details come out about that. And if any downstate schools, you know, small schools, because I think it's more of a Chicagoland, suburban Chicago type of thing. But it would be interesting to see if that trickles downstate and that would potentially collide with the fall sports of girls golf, girls cross country. And then, of course, the big one would be girls volleyball. So I guess we're going to see the details next week sometime.
Yeah, I don't know if that's really going to be a thing at the small school level for a while. I mean, it's hard to like start a program like that when you have the sports that are already established,
yeah, well,
I think.
And I know, well, we see a little trickle with girls wrestling. You know, there's some schools in the area that are taking advantage of that. Some yet really haven't. But I don't know. And so I want to kind of highlight the conversations today coming up on Sportsline. So we had talked about on our program earlier, so the girls' high school basketball postseason getting underway actually today with these regional or subsectional play-in games, whatever you want to call them, including Mercer County and Rock Ridge girls. They're playing tonight at Mercer County. Is that a 6 o'clock?
6 o'clock tip. Yep.
Yeah. So I was able to reach out. I said, you know, I want to talk to kind of the elite programs and get a read on girls' basketball here in 2023-2024. And it was funny. I sent out emails early in the week to the Lincoln head coach, Taylor Rohr. They're like 32-0, and they've played every elite Illinois girls basketball team you could play.
Killed them, too.
And they've outscored the opposition 2,100-900. So basically 2-1. Now, they've had a couple close games where they had to rally to beat Peoria Notre Dame. We'll get into that momentarily. They were down like 11 or down 16 and won by 11, something like that. That deficit was in the second half. And then I talked to the Peoria Notre Dame coach. They're the number one seed in the local subsectional, potentially could play the Sherrard Tigers as the tournament trail moves on for a potential regional championship game. But Peoria Notre Dame, so they're 2A this year. And I asked the coach, I said, the urban legend is that you have five D1 prospects in your, or four D1 prospects in your lineup. And basically, as I was talking to him, it was like, no, actually maybe five D1 prospects in his lineup. And then they have the two daughters are the Bradley coach's daughter. The Coach Wardle has two kids that play on that team. But we get into not only kind of the elite level of those two programs this year, but I asked them too about, you know, where are we at in girls basketball? So they had some great answers as we talk. They're probably like, great, I just wanted to talk about our team, and now I got to talk about what the status of girls basketball. And part of the conversation we got into, and we talked about this with, we should bring Terry Tracy in here. He was commenting on this too, about kind of the have.
Him and Terry Bewley.
Yeah. About the haves and have-nots. Like, that's one of the questions I asked you, and you do the sports desk, you see some of the scores.
Yeah.
And you try to figure out how is there's such a difference, and we see a lot of those scores. And I don't know what we see some of it in boys basketball too, but I think it seems more prevalent in girls basketball that you're seeing some of these scores, and you're like, holy smokes, where are these programs at? And then, you know, even the Peoria Notre Dame coach, I think they play in the Big 12, or I'm not sure what conference they play in. And he even commented about, you know, you talk about some of these schools that have 800,000-900,000 kids, they have trouble fielding, you know, a JV team. And so it's just issues like that. And then they get in and, you know, ask them about Caitlin Clark, about what impact has she had. And I really don't think she's had that great of an impact on kids playing the game. Like, I think she's elevated the fan base of people watching the women's game, but actually girls playing basketball, I don't think she's really had an impact, at least in Illinois. Maybe she has in Iowa. I don't know. But, I mean, those are the conversations that we have with his coaches. And earlier this year, we had Coach Evan Massey on, and we talked about that with him. And, you know, it's just interesting how coaches answer that. And even John Hoshite sent me a text the one day after I talked to Evan Massey, and he says, that was one of the best interviews you've ever done. That's the way you think.
That's high praise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we get into that. And then I was happy to have Brian Roosh on our segment today. And a couple of things we talk about, and I had a conversation this week with an athletic administrator, not going to name the school, but we got to talking about social media. And initially it was about, you know, the policy as it relates to student athletes. And the coach said, social media is the bane of my existence, kind of policing that. And then I thought about, you know, what should there be a policy as it relates to, you know, parents, if they get on social media and say something about a coach or an official or another kid, should there be a penalty or repercussion with that? Because we know if something happens at a game, boom, there's a penalty. But how about social media? I don't know if there should be a policy developed on that or how you could potentially police that, but we get into that. And then the other thing we talk about, and I this really makes me mad when it does, because it, you know, people, this is what I'm going to defend the IHSA for, because people criticize the IHSA about a lot of different things. But I heard this week, I'm not going to cite the school, you know, at these subsectional seedings, a school didn't, and I'm sure this happens more than just once, a school did not seed the subsectional. That drives me bananas, because it's very simple. If the head coach can't do it, you have, you know, you see some of these teams, there's five assistants on the bench. You can seed it. And, you know, I don't know if there's a penalty or what type of assessment can occur there, but that type of stuff just makes me mad, because those people then that don't see, they're the first people usually to complain about something with the IHSA. What say you?
Well, I agree. I just think that, like, you know, and most of the time when that happens, it's a team that has had a season that hasn't went very well, right? And I just think the way it goes when you're, like, coaching at a small public school, there are going to be years where you're not very good. That's just how it works. I mean, you know, you're not going to be good every year. And when you are good, you're going to want everybody to seed it and do it the right way for you, right? So when you're the team that's bad, you should still do it the right way because, again, this whole thing is about the kids who play, right? And it's not about the coaches. You know, it's about the kids. That's what high school athletics are about. So if you're going to, you know, not do what you're supposed to do to make the experience as good as it can be for the kids, you're not doing a very good job, in my opinion. That's my opinion.
Yeah, well, and that's what, and if you can't do it, I'm not, you know, if the head coach has something, and there could be something for a reason he or she couldn't do it. I get that. But you just say, hey, here's my assistant. Can you do it for me?
Right. You know? I agree.
And it's just like, it's the typical thing we talk about a lot about, you know, just information in general of sharing results and things like that, because this is a nonstop issue. Where's John Hoscheid at this morning? What's our official? I always forget our official address here in downtown.
I have no idea.
It's on South College Avenue. Yeah. I forget the
2104 Southeast 3rd Street. Yeah, is old a, one. I know that one. Yeah.
That's funny because the one time we had Margo Price when she was home for Christmas, when she was going to play, she came to play here. She went out to the old station first.
And everybody who comes to pick up their St. Louis Cardinal calendars does the same thing. They're like, you guys moved? It's like, yeah, like 4 months ago we did. Yeah, or however long it's been now, probably longer than that. But anyway, that's beside the point. I wanted to ask you, what was your reaction to the postseason pairings and seeding for boys basketball? Anything specific stick out to you?
No, and I think I defaulted, you know, because you know, one coach said, man, you know, in terms of our seeding, you know, and they were joking when they reached out, but they were listening. And I defaulted to the fact that I live in the Mercer County School District. So the Eagles.
I feel like you, by doing that, kind of spit on my exercise because the coach that was seeding it wouldn't say, oh, I live in the Mercer County District, so I'm going to seed them second. So that I felt disrespected when you did that a little bit.
Well, it's tough for me because I know because there could be a realistic argument that Macomb could be the number one seed.
Lost to Rock Ridge.
No, though. I know, and that's what I'm saying, head to head.
And the teams Rock Ridge has lost to, let's not...
Oh, I know.
Yeah, I mean...
But I mean, Macomb, I'm telling you, the way they've played late in the year,
yeah.
they are a solid team.
Yeah, they definitely, I think, should have been seeded second. I do.
But... I still think, you know, and I know the you talk about head to head, that's true, but I just think really in the second, just like Macomb, I really think in the second half of the season, I don't think their conference schedule's been very good, but in the second half of the season, they've really picked up steam. And I tell you, I thought it was big that the Eagles won Tuesday.
Yeah,
not letting that game, because
I agree.
The one thing that killed them last year was that loss to Stark County. You know, that was they didn't win that game, and
right.
You know, that created a little bit of a question mark going into the postseason, and then two, the weird location they got sent.
Yeah,
to
well,
last
but
year.
So did everybody else.
I know,
though.
But
I mean,
and then I think the wild card is that gym down there playing.
Yeah,
there
I agree at Monmouth. Yeah,
and then I was shocked. It was funny. I was talking to Matthew Lucas last night, and he said something about the regional, and I said Monmouth Roseville, and he goes, they're having a regional,
yeah,
at that gym.
I know.
And then the playing the semifinal, and apparently I don't know if it's an IHSA rule now that you have to play both semifinal games on the same night.
Looks like it. Yeah, I mean that's what the schedule says, so yeah.
So you're gonna have the potential of Mirko, Orion, Rock Ridge, Monmouth, Roseville playing, yeah, that night. And that's the other thing. I mean, you know, you look at Rock Ridge, Monmouth, Roseville in that semifinal. I know, yeah, that there was the one lopsided game and the one close game.
Right.
But it's just a different situation when it's the postseason.
No, I
everybody
agree.
Everybody comes out because they know that the regional. But we were talking about the one thing that I brought up John Hoscheid about, again, is, you know, about getting results. And you do a good job in the morning on Sports Desk getting as much as you possibly can, but we still miss stuff because we can't cover it all if we're not told about it, right? And I know there's a lot of like social media accounts where there's, you know, schools can send information out, but just specific fans of those sports go to that site. And if they want it the broader reach, to everybody to see it or hear it, where should they send it? Duh. Here, where we present the information to the masses. So, again, that's what I say. There, hey, look at, turn around, there's the cat downtown. Yeah, I know.
Kia said Alito. That it's a, kind of a mean woo, woo. Cat. Anyway.
Okay, so. But I'm just saying that when people, you know, you hear little rumblings here or there about why don't you have this on, why don't you do that, you know, send the information.
Right.
Jim at WRMJ.com, Ty at WRMJ.com, or John.
No, he doesn't want that anymore. He doesn't do sports anymore.
He still wants it. He always sends us these. He always sends us private messages on Twitter.
But he does tell the coaches. He's like, "Can you take me off your mail list? I don't do sports anymore."
He did that? Yeah. Oh, that's sad, man.
I know. But anyway.
Oh, I didn't know that. All right. So, anything else you need to mention today? What time are you going to be on the air?
Around seven. I mean, it's the last game of the day. So, I know, like, when we went to Beecher last week, it was a lot later than 7:30 of a tip-off, or 2 weeks ago. So, I mean, around seven, tip-off is scheduled for 7:30 for that game in Riverton. What do you think? How do you think it'll go tonight?
Going to be I think Jordan Harris said a game in the 30s.
I think that Rock Ridge, after that Beecher game, I mean, they played really well against Orion, obviously. I think they played Rocky pretty tough last week, too. Only lost by 10. It was a three-point game at halftime. I think Rocky right now alone in first place in the Big Six, because Quincy got beat again last night. They lost to Moline. Did you see that?
No kidding.
42-41.
So in the postseason, is Quincy, are they in the same sectional complex?
I have no idea. I haven't looked at the 4A stuff. I don't know.
Holy smokes, Quincy got beat again.
But I think Sean Taylor's like 12-3 against Quincy since he's been at Moline. Yeah, that's the Olympic Conference, right?
Well, yeah. And then you see what Quincy, you know, did to him, how they got rid of him.
Right.
I mean, it's like,
but yeah, that's a big win for Moline last night.
Yeah, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That game was at Wharton or
down? Yeah, it's at Wharton.
Well, good for them. All right, anything else or that about cover? We got a good show coming up today. Do we have the interviews in? We do here. We'll hear from, you know, talking top shelf girls high school basketball here with Lincoln, Taylor, or we get in just kind of the sport of basketball. And then the Peoria Notre Dame coach as well coming up, who grew up in Winnebago and played for the great Joe Murphy. So all of that coming up. And then Brian Roosh as well. This is the WRMJ Sports Line on a Saturday morning.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax and have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Comfortable, stylish, lightweight. All words that represent Hey Dude Shoes from 6140 Run in Galesburg. Hey Dude supports a lifestyle of lifting you up and giving you the comfiest, cushiest, lightest shoes on earth. And now, Hey Dude Shoes are buy one pair, get one pair 25% off at 6140 Run in Galesburg. Make your new go-to shoes, Hey Dudes, on sale now. Buy one, get one 25% off at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
Jim Taylor back on WRMJ, WRMJ.com. We've talked a little bit about this story this year following girls basketball in the state, and what a season Lincoln High School in Central Illinois is having. They're undefeated, and they've been a buzzsaw this year as they really put up some lopsided scores. Now, they've played some close games down the stretch. They're scheduled tough. They play a lot of good teams, and we get a chance to visit with Taylor Rohrer, the head coach of Lincoln, 12 years now leading the Railer program.
So tell us about kind of this mission you're on here in 2023, 2024. What a regular season you've put together.
It was an incredible regular season. You know, we did not come into the season expecting to go undefeated. The goal is to win a state title, but I would say that that's probably the goal for every program in the state. Last year we went undefeated in the regular season and then we lost in the state title game. And I just think that, you know, the kids and I and my coaching staff, we felt that sting pretty deeply. And, the goal is to hopefully get back there. Definitely a tough road come postseason. But, so all year long, like, our motto has been one goal, one game at a time to get to that final goal.
And it's interesting. I look at, you've scored 2,192 points. You've given up 942. So you're outscoring the opposition basically 2-1. And I can read, some of these outcomes, and it's been amazing, the margins of victory for you. Now, I know you've played some very good teams too. You met Peoria Notre Dame number one in 2A, and someone was telling me that they have like three or four Division I recruits, and I think you trailed by double digits in the second half, won that game. And I see Alton, I think, is ranked number two in 4A. You had a close game with them as well. So there's a lot of coach speak when we have these conversations. Some people will say, hey, you need to play some close games before you get to the state tournament. Well, if you're just that good and you blow people out, it is what it is. So when people say, do you need to play close games? What is your response to that?
I would say absolutely. I think you got to be prepared for anything. You know, you need to be, hopefully throughout the regular season, you get a little taste of everything. And I think that our schedule allowed for that this year. We were down against Peoria Notre Dame. We made some adjustments at the half. We were able to come out and secure a victory against a very, very talented team. And then, two close games back to back. We played O'Fallon and then we played Alton the following day. And, both very competitive teams, lots of very talented players on both teams. And to be able to come out and go back-to-back with victories in two close games, two hard-fought games, very physical games, I think that that made us better. I think it prepared us, for what's to come in the postseason. And that's what you want. You want a little taste of everything. You want to win. You want to feel that success. But you also want to be pushed. You want to be challenged. And like the way that I see it is even if we lose in the regular season, hopefully we get better. And that's the ultimate goal, is to get better every game. And so that come postseason, we're ready to go.
So you mentioned Alton and O'Fallon. They're both in the top 10 in the latest 4A rankings. I think Alton number two, O'Fallon ranked number seven. Is that so? You come off an undefeated regular season last year, get to the state title game and lose. So I'm assuming when you piece like a schedule together, you say, hey, we got to amp it up. We got to find as many good teams as possible to play.
Absolutely. And, last year, like being down in the state title game, that was really the first time we had been down all season. And, it was kind of a little bit of a shock to us. Not that we underestimated Nazareth, because we knew how good they were. We just hadn't been in that situation before. And so, we really wanted to be in that situation prior to postseason, so that if it came to that during postseason, whether it's in a regional, sectional, state game, we're ready. We've been there before. Okay, how do we adjust? How do we come out of it? The girls know that it's possible to still win being down. And so I think that, amping our schedule up a little bit this year and playing teams that where the game could have really gone either way, we're more prepared, hopefully, going into postseason this year than we were last year.
All right, so still no shot clock in play in Illinois. So that means basically, strategy-wise, opponents can try to throw anything at you as possible. What's like the craziest thing you've seen in the last couple of years, strategy-wise, other than just trying to maybe hold the ball? Has there anything that really stands out where you're on the sideline and say, well, that's never seen that before?
nothing really stands out in my mind. Coaches have done some really great things against us, different things against our press or different things, within their offense. you know, Peoria Notre Dame did a really nice job against us. And then when we made the adjustment at half, I think that we stopped, you know, what they had been kind of doing to us. So I would say that there's been some really great coaches along the way who have really challenged our kids and players who have challenged our kids. And the kids have been able to make the adjustments and, you know, come out ahead. But there's nothing that stands out really that's like, wow, I can't believe they thought of that or anything like that. Just good coaching, you know, different things to challenge us.
Yeah. So I was thinking, as you know, earlier this year, I talked to Evan Massey, the you know him, the girls basketball coach at Galesburg that has won, I don't know, you know, over 1,000 games or whatever, an impressive run. And we were talking about the state of girls basketball, not, you know, just not only in Illinois, but everywhere. And in one of the, and I'm not talking about just what you've been able to accomplish this year. You're good. And you know, you've been able to win by a wide margin, but you know, just as I've covered primarily 1A, 2A basketball, right? It just seems like, man, there are so many lopsided scores in terms of, I don't know if you call it the haves and the have-nots. What is your, and I'm assuming, you know, you're narrow focused on this team and you got bigger fish to fry, as they say, try to win a state title. But what is your observation right now? What do you think where we're at in girls basketball in Illinois?
I mean, I think that that's probably a valid evaluation of it. But I think that a lot of it has to do with, you know, a few years ago when our world shut down due to COVID, you know, I just think that, you know, rightfully so, people were scared to get out. People were scared to, you know, play and be around other people. And I totally understand that. But I think that kind of what it did, especially to girls sports, is it made a really big gap. And you know, I just think that, you know, it's going to take a few years to kind of get back in the swing of things. And I hope that, you know, teams like, hopefully, you know, ourselves or, you know, really great, like there's a lot of really other great teams in this state, like off the top of my head, just in our subsectional, Galesburg, Morton, Peoria, like those are really great teams. And hopefully, you know, like little girls are looking up to these players and they're like, wow, I want to be just like, you know, Froby, or I want to be like Guyton. And they go out and they get a ball in their hands and they start playing, and eventually the tide turn and everything comes in waves, you know, like some years people are down, some years people are up. And I just think that, you know, as time goes on, you know, and kids are watching really great basketball come back to life, the youth is going to start picking a ball up again and playing again.
I hope so. And, you know, where I reside at, I'm within about an hour and 20 minutes of Caitlin Clark in Iowa City. You know, and I look at my immediate area in the western portion of the state, I'm concerned about the numbers and, you know, some of the margins. And she's only an hour and 20 minutes away. And but what have you thought of her storyline and her impact? That, you know, there's been a lot of attention with her, and I think a lot of girls realize, hey, I want to watch, it's must see television when you know to see Caitlin Clark play. But you know, she's
incredible basketball player,
but she's only got, you know, maybe this is her last year playing collegiately. What have you thought of her impact and her help maybe with spurring some interest in the sport?
I think that you know, her impact, you know, great teams at the college level. Like last year, I felt like women's college basketball got a lot of attention, and that was a really exciting thing. You know, it wasn't just, you know, women watching, it was men watching too. And you know, and it kind of hopefully helps turn that tide where young girls and even young boys are like, wow, you know, I want to get out and play. Or, you know, dads are like, okay, I'm gonna take my daughter to the gym, you know, and different things like that. You know, I think that still in today's world, sometimes we only think of sports for boys. And I think Caitlin Clark and players like that have really started to turn the tide. And it started a long time ago. You know, when I played, Candace Parker was, you know, was a huge player for girls basketball, and she was a player that turned that tide a little bit and made people want to play this sport. And I just think it takes great players like that to have kids look up and be like, I want to be just like her. And then they get a ball in their hands and they start playing and they bring some friends along with them. And you know, eventually you've got a great team like what I have now.
Yeah, and I'm assuming that you the kids that play on your team are, you know, some of them are multi-sport athletes. And I know I could talk to you forever about this subject, you know, but I still say the sport that is impacted the most by club sports, where the worlds collide, and the sport that's impacted the most is girls basketball, because they're dealing on the one end with club volleyball and on the other end, travel softball. Do you feel that? How do you make that work, or do you make it? I mean, what's the equation to kind of make that work, I guess?
I mean, I don't think that there is a hard and fast answer to that. You know, I just think that, you know, for me, like when I look at my kids that play, my first five, all but one are multi-sport athletes. You know, Chloe Froby and Becca Heitzig are two of the best athletes, you know, probably to ever come through Lincoln High School. And, you know, Chloe plays volleyball and basketball. She's a top basketball player in the state of Illinois, and she does both. You know, she couldn't come off that floor. Our volleyball team went to state. She's a big part of that. Becca Heitzig was our libero for our volleyball team. She's also a track and cross country star, and she starts on, you know, our basketball team. And I just think that kids that do multiple things are all around better athletes. I mean, that's just my personal opinion. I understand, you know, loving a sport and wanting to only do that sport. I get that. I respect that. But I feel like, you know, here at Lincoln, I really try to encourage my kids to do more than one thing. Like, I love when they're at the gym, you know, on their own shooting, but they're kids. Like, let's let them be kids. Let's let them do multiple things, you know, and see what they love most, see where they excel. You know, if they only do basketball, how do they know if they're going to excel at softball or volleyball? And they very well could. And I think it's important to encourage our kids to do as much as possible while they can, because they're only going to be this young once. And eventually, you know, it's all going to go away and they're not going to have the opportunity to play multiple sports. You know, they're going to be working, they're going to have families, and life gets busy. And now's the time to just enjoy, you know, being able to do it all.
All right. Good stuff today. Glad to visit with Taylor Rohr. She's the head coach of the Lincoln girls basketball program, and what a season they're putting together. They were state runner up last year, undefeated regular season as they enter postseason play, and we've seen a lot of discussion about them online and throughout the state, and deservedly so. So we wanted to kind of hear the story, and we always talk about other stuff as it relates to interscholastic athletics. So, Coach Rohr, been awesome talking
Thanks
with you. Good luck in the postseason, and tell our good buddy Neil Alexander we said hello to, will you please?
I definitely will. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And you're listening to WRMJ.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax. And have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Save on Saucony at 614-0-RUN. Running apparel and clothing from Saucony is 25% off right now at 614-0-RUN in Galesburg. Pair that with the Omni 22s by Saucony. Built to keep you stable and comfortable, the Omni 22 is as reliable as it gets. Or how about a pair of Ride 17s from Saucony featuring crave-worthy cushioning, or the Glycerin 21s by Brooks with an improved fit and more cushioning. Check it all out and save at 614-0-RUN in Galesburg.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialists at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
Jim Taylor back on WRMJ, WRMJ.com. Hard to believe the girls' high school basketball postseason getting underway this weekend. And in our local subsectional, the number one seed is Peoria Notre Dame, and they've put together quite a regular season, ranked number one in state. They play a tremendous schedule. They're 27-4 overall. I know they had Lincoln down, I think, double-digit points in the second half before Lincoln rallied. Of course, that's the top team in 3A and probably the best team maybe in the state. Lane Langhoff is the head coach of Peoria Notre Dame, a kid that grew up in Winnebago, played small school basketball. I told Coach off the air, I heard the urban legend earlier this season, 4 or 5 Division One prospects in the Peoria Notre Dame lineup. Is that true, Coach Langhoff? Man, those are some pretty good players, and it's great to get talked about, I guess, statewide like that, right?
Right, absolutely. Well, thank you for having me. We have a very solid top five. Our starters are scoring from 9.5 to 13 a game, very balanced. All have had 20-point games at some point throughout the season. Our point guard, Maya Wardle, is going to be at Eastern Kentucky next year. And then, you know, we play basically three guards with you know, in addition to her. Lexi Bears has Division I offers. Emmy Wardle, Maya's sister, who's a freshman, is definitely at her. Even as a freshman, she's probably on a bunch of schools' radars. And then our two juniors, Caitlin and Julia, getting some interest as well. Yeah, so it's a unique situation for us. I've coached one before Maya. I've coached one Division I kid in 22 years. So it's a little different for me this year.
All right, one of the marquee matchups in all of basketball this year, boys or girls, was the game January 20th between Lincoln and Peoria Notre Dame. And I think the game was in Lincoln. 63-52, the Railers win. But I think you led into the second half. Tell us, that was a marquee matchup. A lot of people I know were talking about that.
Yeah, definitely. It was actually at the Renaissance Coliseum on Bradley's campus. We were lucky enough to get that venue. Great atmosphere, two great teams. Yeah, we jumped out early, had a big lead. I think we were up 15 or 16. End of the third quarter, Froby had a 5-0 run on her own to tie it to start the third and kind of took the momentum. They started the fourth quarter, hit a couple shots. We went, we went cold, which, you know, we missed some shots, but a lot of that was, just a plan trying to score against maybe the top team in the state. They pulled away late, hit some free throws to seal it, but a great, great atmosphere for our kids, and theirs as well. Coach said, regardless of the outcome, we both felt it was a great opportunity for both our kids and our programs to be in such a in a big arena with a huge crowd. We're just trying to put our kids into situations, getting ready for the postseason in big games. And our schedule's been, it's a pretty difficult schedule. We've actually played, we're 2A this year, but we've played more 4A teams than 2A throughout the year. And I think we played, 13 or 14 games against state ranked teams, this year. So, but yeah, the Lincoln game was great for our kids. Obviously we came out on the wrong end or the short end, but, still a great learning experience for us and a tremendous evening.
All right. So I want to back up and talk a little bit about, your background. One of the things when I cover education, so especially like the ag education beat, normally when I talk to kids who say, I want to be an ag teacher. Well, why you want to be an ag teacher? They say, well, because of my ag teacher, right? Or why do you want to be a classroom teacher? Because my third grade teacher. So you told me a great story off the air. So a kid grew up in Winnebago, and I said, oh, Joe Murphy. And you said, yeah, I coached. I played for one of his first teams in the early 90s. Joe Murphy's won over 800 games. I know one of the local schools we cover, Rock Ridge, running into them a couple times in the postseason. And you told me, hey, the reason I want to coach
and teach, and a guy that has impacted my life in a great way is Joe Murphy at Winnebago. That's a true story, right?
Yes, sir. That is. Yeah, I played for Coach Murphy. I graduated in 92. It was about his fifth year as the boys coach. And, you know, outside my parents, he's had the biggest influence on my life. And he is the reason I got into coaching. As I told you earlier off the air, my mom was the AD's assistant for over 30 years. So I grew up around Murph, you know, all the other coaches that's kind of was, you know, I was the gym rat that hung around. My older brother and sister both played. I was always around Winnebago High School in some capacity as a kid. And, you know, Murph, just as good a coach as he is, he's a better man. He's made a huge impact on me, but, you know, hundreds of other kids that have played for him. And thankfully his health is still good and he's still up there. I don't know what year he's in, about 38 years now. So, yeah, great man. And then I was blessed to play for him and, yeah, as every other kid that ever played for him.
Yeah, it's great to hear. Good guy to cross paths with when you're in a high school gym and you see Joe Murphy.
Yeah.
And again, with that legacy and that number of years is so impressive. So before you were at Peoria Notre Dame, I think 7 years now, I think about 13 years at Canton. So I told you off the air, I was talking to Taylor Rohrer, who's the coach of Lincoln, and I had Evan Massey, the head coach of Galesburg, on earlier this year when he, you know, shortly after he reached that great milestone.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I really like to take a deep dive in, we can't talk forever today, but where do you think, now you're in a good position with great kids playing right now, but you know, the one thing I've really seen in the last 3 to 5 years in girls basketball, man, it just seems like the difference between haves and have nots when you look at some of these scores, you know, of just some lopsided, you can call them victories or losses. Where do you think we're at in girls basketball in the state of Illinois right now? I'm not just speaking specific, because you're in a good place at Peoria Notre Dame.
Yeah.
But I mean, what do you see the game? What, from when you first started to where we're at now? Give me an assessment of girls basketball in Illinois.
Well, I started in girls down here in Canton in 1999 as the freshman. And then I did a few years of JV before I took over the varsity in Canton. And, you know, just in those 25 years, the game, it's completely different. The opportunities for kids, you know, when I started, it was the old AYB tour. You know, that was the big thing. And now it's become the AAU circuit, and it's great for our kids. Even, you know, back in Canton, we had a lot of kids that played. You get to play against high level kids. But just the growth of the game where, you know, you're seeing younger and younger kids coming into high school with skill sets that, you know, 25 years ago, you maybe had a couple kids that could do the things that these, you know, sixth, seventh and eighth graders are doing now. I think it's just a lot more exposure for the girls game. I think it's great. But going back to, you know, our conference, we've had a lot of lopsided games. I mean, our conference at the top is as good as any, you know, conference with Normal Community, Peoria High. But we, you know, we get into the middle of the conference, and it's the big thing I'm noticing is there's so many schools, even big schools with, you know, 12, 13, 1400 kids in our conference, that their JV team is basically turning around and playing the varsity game. And I don't know what to attribute to, you know, where our enrollment's under 500, but we still, are fielding three levels of teams. I think that's kind of gone away. It's just kind of, I don't know. I know there's a lot of options for kids now in high school. And I was just talking last night after senior night to some of the parents. It's like, it's hard to keep, you know, the kids 8, 9, and 10, you know, if they're not getting a lot of playing time. I think the difference is when I started, we had kids that just wanted to be a part of it. Had friends on the team, liked it enough to stick it out, even if they weren't getting, you know, starters minutes or even playing a lot. But, you know, there are a lot of options, and it's a lot different than when I played. I grew up in, like I said, Winnebago, which is a basketball town. You know, we grew up as young kids wanting to be in the basketball program, you know, playing for guys like Murph. But, I've seen just, you know, with scouting and everything going on, you know, you can watch any game anywhere now, and there are a lot of lopsided games. So, but I think a lot of those teams that are struggling, it's, they have so many young kids that are trying to play a JV game and then turn around and play in a varsity game. And it's just, it's great experience, but, you know, some of these teams are really, really struggling now to field, you know, full varsity teams.
All right. So what is the, you know, this is the other wild card question. What is the best way to coexist, do you think? Or is there a way to coexist? And you know what I'm going to ask you about, you know, club sports, especially bass. And I asked Coach Rohr this from Lincoln. You know, basically basketball is dealing what? With volleyball at the one end, softball at the other. How do you, can you know, the basketball, in my opinion, has been the sport that has been impacted the most with, you know, off-season sports impeding on the in-season sport of basketball. Now, I'm saying, now I know you can't define what off-season sport is anymore because you're with these great facilities that have popped up all over the country and all over in the region. You can play volleyball year round. You can play softball year round. So it's not, you know, you really can't call it an off season sport, but you're competing with that. So how does basketball, do you think, coexist? What's the right way to do it? Is there a right way?
Well, I don't know if it's the right way, but my experience, I've been very blessed to be at Canton, who, when I got there, was probably a softball town, still is. And Notre Dame is a soccer school. And I've been blessed to have the coaches of those programs understand that a school our size and even Canton size, which is a little bigger than Notre Dame, you know, you got to give and take with these kids, because if you draw the line and go, you got to be at this all summer, and it might not, basketball might not be their favorite sport, you're going to lose those kids, or a lot of them. So I think it starts at the school level. Coaches that can work together and share the core group of kids who are playing two, maybe three sports. But I know in the Middle Illini, during my time, there were a lot of schools, Washington, Metamora, Morton, who they had great athletes that would help them on the basketball court, but they were in a travel sport year round, and they didn't get that opportunity to have those kids in their school programs. And I think that really hurts you know, a lot of the schools in this area, with our size, we just, you know, like I said, my experience, we've had to share our kids, and we've had to work with, the soccer teams. We've had to work with volleyball. We've had to work with softball. And, you know, that's just my experience. I've been blessed to work with coaches that understand that, you know, if we make our kids choose, we're all going to lose.
All right. The only other thing I'm going to ask you, and we appreciate the great opportunity, always great to, when we talk to these elite, great coaches from around the state. So we've heard from Coach Rohr, from Lincoln, and we get a chance here to talk with Lane Langhoff, the head coach of Peoria Notre Dame, number one in 2A. The other thing, you know, in terms of girls basketball here, last year and this year, you know, this phenom in this story of Caitlin Clark. Now, where I live at, I'm basically an hour 20 from Carver Hawkeye Arena as a crow flies, right? So, okay. So, you know, and Caitlin Clark has become a national story, but I think even potentially a bigger story where I'm at.
Sure.
I thought originally, well, man, she's going to have a huge impact on girls basketball in the numbers. I don't think she really has, you know, and if she can't do it, I don't know who can, you know, but I guess my question is, what do you think of a player like that that has really elevated the coverage of women's basketball and is the personality? And we've seen this Coach Mulkey from LSU, you know, the flair she has really elevated the game, and it has become must watch television when you get an opportunity to see a personality in a player like Clark and a personality in a coach like Mulkey, I guess. So what about kind of those type of stories and their potential or relative impact on women's basketball?
Well, my wife and I, we have three boys. So up until about 2 years ago, we did not watch a ton of girls basketball, a ton of college girls basketball. But if I'm being honest, there's only two teams that I record every game on Hulu. One is Bradley's men's basketball. My wife's a Bradley alum. I went to ISU, but I kind of drifted to the Bradley side of it with Coach Wardle and Maya and Emmy. And the only other team I record consistently is Iowa women's basketball. She is fun to watch. Our kids, a lot of our kids pay attention to it. Like I said, we have a lot of kids who want to play in college, so they pay attention to that. But she has elevated the college game, maybe to not where it should be on the women's side. But I think it's getting casual fans to the TV just to watch and see what she does. You know, she is unbelievable. I know they sell out every game. But yeah, I'm hoping that more people get on board with the women's game, because honestly, it doesn't matter, you know, men or women, if you have a good product, you know, people should appreciate it. And I think they've started to, and like I said, we're in, you know, Central Illinois. It might be, we might be at the epicenter, but hopefully that whole, her passion and the way she plays and how skilled she is kind of, you know, eventually, you know, expands the love for the women's college basketball game. 'Cause she's unbelievable. And you hope, as a girls coach, with kids that are probably going to play in college, in the next few years, you hope the game grows and the interest grows, because, you know, that my kids, you know, work just as hard as any boys program around. We believe, you know, and we see them on a daily basis. We know the work they put in, and it's good to see them get rewarded with big crowds in the stands.
All right. Well, I tell you, great to visit with Coach Lane Langhoff, head coach of Peoria Notre Dame girls basketball, ranked number one, 2A, having quite the season. Coach, thanks for coming on with us today. Greatly appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate you reaching out. I really happy to do this, and I appreciate you taking the time to reach out to me. So thank you.
All right. More coming up on WRMJ.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax. And have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Comfortable, stylish, lightweight. All words that represent Hey Dude Shoes from 6140 Run in Galesburg. Hey Dude supports a lifestyle of lifting you up and giving you the comfiest, cushiest, lightest shoes on earth. And now, Hey Dude Shoes are buy one pair, get one pair 25% off at 6140 Run in Galesburg. Make your new go-to shoes, Hey Dudes, on sale now. Buy one, get one 25% off at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. He's Jim Taylor at WRMJ Radio in Aledo. And we're Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio. We're going to subtitle things today. Jim, what's on your mind? I know you've got a couple of things you'd like to speak on. Let's talk about the seeding as we get set for the onset of the girls' postseason and the boys right around the corner. And you have a concern there.
All right. So, yeah, we talked about this a little bit last week. Remember what I said?
I miss the days where the coaches would get together at a meeting place and they would seed, basically back in those days, the regional complex. Now you define it as the subsectional, basically with how, you know, the postseason works for boys or girls basketball, for example. I found out this week that one of the local subsectionals we cover, one of the teams did not submit seeds for the subsectional. That kind of makes me mad that, you know, the IHSA offers that opportunity. I think it should be a requirement. You know, I don't know what the penalty could be. You know, I don't think it should be as stiff as, hey, you're prohibited from playing the postseason. But stuff like that, to me, means something. And especially, I can't imagine if you're a school and you're having a season where you're winning a lot, right? You're gonna participate in the subsectional seeding. But if you're losing and maybe struggling that season, you're not gonna submit the subsectional seeds. I think that bothers me personally. Like I said, I don't know what the penalty should be, but I think schools and administrators really need to make a concerted effort. Hey, you know, we're a member school. We need to participate in this process, because I think that really stinks when not all schools, you know, do the seating at those subsectionals.
I agree. And I'd kind of like to know, you know, why, you know, was it an oversight? Was it on purpose? I mean, I guess, you know, you'd have to dive in and find out, but it's one of those situations where it should be a requirement. And again, it's not that difficult. The whole reason behind moving to a point where you do it electronically is to make it as easy and painless as possible. And I think it just kind of knocks the whole system a little bit out of whack, and it seems unfair. Kind of reminds me when I hear stories about coaches who don't show up for like all conference meetings, and then parents and fans are like, why did this person not get elected to the all conference team? Well, their coach may not have been in attendance that day.
Well, and I think the other thing with that, Brian, too, is, hey, if you can't make it as the head coach, you have an assistant or you have a couple of assistants, and they can do it. Now, with the seeding, now you have to win games in the postseason, right? That's what it's all about. But still, it can have a significant impact on the pairings if one school or two schools or whatever doesn't seed. I'm not saying it happens a lot, but when it does happen, come on, man. You have an assistant coach or somebody else that can do that for you. That shouldn't be left blank. You play 31 or 32 regular season games. You need to seed. That really aggravates me. All right, the other thing. So I'm done whining about that, okay? All right. So I was talking to a local administrator this week, athletic director. I said, how are things, you know, what do you deal with most? Or I imagine, you know, social media is still an issue. And the response was, it's the bane of my existence. You know, kind of policing that, speaking from, you know, having to monitor what student athletes post on social media, if they've crossed the line, if the school district has to step in and do something. And that doesn't relate just to interscholastic athletics, right? It basically impacts day-to-day learning in the school building. But I was then segueing, and I said, well, what's the policy for parents, you know, that have kids at school, and maybe they're saying some things on social media that they shouldn't be saying as it relates maybe to a coach, right? Or maybe they're saying something about an official. And the administrator I was talking to, he said, you know, that's a good point, but there really isn't a policy that I know of in regards to that. So that's why I'm throwing it out there, you know, to administrators who listen to this segment, school boards who listen to this segment, should there be some type of policy, right, for parents? We know if you go to a game and you're unruly or your behavior results in like an ejection because you're mad at a coach, mad at an official, there's punishment delved out. But what about unruly behavior in the social media sphere?
where if you attack an official or attack another player or another or an official online or a coach, you know, should there be some type of policy policing that? Now, I'm going to stop right there because some people were are going to say immediately, right, well, First Amendment. But again, you know, freedom of speech does not come without consequence, especially when we're talking about high school sports. So my question one is to our listening audience, specifically administrators and school boards, should there be policies that oversee some of that stuff online involving, you know, parents? And what do you think?
Well, Jim, I may come off sounding a little bit naive, but I really kind of think that that's one of those things that should be self-policed. But what you're saying and what I'm seeing is that it's not. So, unfortunately, I think that drives us towards having some sort of policy. And again, you know, in today's world, so many people are so brave behind a keyboard. And I'm not saying that Facebook or some of the other social medias aren't good ways to get thoughts expressed and get news out and whatever, but sometimes it takes a little bit of a dark turn. And I would say if you, you know, if it's not positive, then let's not put it out there. And if it's something that's a personal attack and you feel like you've been wronged or whatnot, deal with it directly. But as far as, you know, going after the characters of coaches or officials or players or whatnot, you're usually just telling your own side anyway. And there may have to be policies out there to say, hey, this is what is acceptable and this is what is not.
Yeah, and I know that's a tough one because it's such a gray area. But when we look at specific personal attacks, and we know penalties are handed out if something happens at a game involving unruly behavior, right? But, you know, like I said, I don't know how that could be done if you're trying to police social media in regards to that, because I know it's so tough already, you know, when you're trying to police social media with just the student athlete. But I wanted to throw that out there, and maybe that's something school boards can discuss, right? And school district administrators, because we tell everybody we're the starting point of these conversations. He's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. I'm Jim Taylor at WMJ in Aledo. And this is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax. And have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Save on Saucony at 614-0-RUN. Running apparel and clothing from Saucony is 25% off right now at 614-0-RUN in Galesburg. Pair that with the Omni 22s by Saucony. Built to keep you stable and comfortable, the Omni 22 is as reliable as it gets. Or how about a pair of Ride 17s from Saucony, featuring crave-worthy cushioning, or the Glycerin 21s by Brooks with an improved fit and more cushioning. Check it all out and save at 614-0-RUN in Galesburg.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialists at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
All right, the WRMJ Sports Line winding down on this Saturday morning. We do have Illini basketball at Michigan State. That's a noon broadcast in East Lansing, a 1 o'clock tip-off. What do you think about that matchup?
I think the Illini are going to get another win today. Yeah. That was a big win for them against Nebraska. They kind of fell apart, but then were able to right the ship in overtime. Nice win for them.
So Purdue, they're the best team in the Big Ten, you think?
I think so, yeah.
And then you'd say Illini close to or not?
them or Wisconsin. Wisconsin's lost a couple games, but I think Illinois, yeah, they're pretty good. I think they got a chance to make a run in the postseason. They haven't been to the Sweet 16 in a long time. I think since 2005, the year they got to the Final Four. So,
and who's the best women's team in college basketball in the Big Ten?
Probably Iowa.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, one girl had 47. It wasn't Caitlin Clark earlier this week against Penn State, but that's a must-see TV, and you heard those two coaches talk about the impact of Caitlin Clark. All right, 7 o'clock broadcast for the Rockets around 7 o'clock with the Breeze Central. That'll be must-listen basketball. And again, so we've had, you know, it's great this year. I said it on the broadcast Tuesday night. You know, we've seen basically the sampling of the elite boys basketball in the state, where we've seen Beecher, we've seen Manuel, we've seen the Rockets, we've seen Sherrard, right? And we'll see Breeze Central today. And I would think that...
Manuel?
Yeah, Manuel.
And Beecher.
Yeah, so I would think that, you know, rankings alone, we have the potential to see, you know, one of the state champs, I think.
I would think so, yeah. Also, the Rockridge Athletics page on Facebook made a nice comment about us making the trip, thanked us, and then Landon Wheatley's mom, Mindy, called us the best.
Yeah,
thank you. Her and Mr. Wheatley, Josh, said they came up to me after the game in Beecher, and they're like, "Sorry, we didn't play very good tonight, but thanks for coming." I'm like, "No, don't need to thank me. I had a great time today, and I'm gonna have a great time today. Let's knock off number one, huh?
Yeah,
come
that'd
on.
Be great. That would be great."
And I'll tell you what, though, about Rock Ridge. It's just something about them this time of the year. They always turn it on. And, you know, I know they've had a couple of weird results, and maybe they haven't played great over the past month or so. But those kids know how to get it done, man. And that program always does. So you can't – I wouldn't be shocked if they won today.
Well, and that's why I say about basketball, about boys and girls basketball in the state of Illinois compared to other states, where you're playing through two holidays. You're playing through Thanksgiving and you're playing through Christmas. It is a long, long season. And for those teams that can finish undefeated, like when you think about the Lincoln girls, now they've had some scares. To get through undefeated just the way, how many games you have to play and the situations you're put in, that's impressive to get on that run. And like I say, basketball is one of those games. If you have a hot shooting night, your opponent does, and you have a poor shooting night, well, I tell you, again, I tell everybody, I argue in my 33 years here, the best team I ever saw in any sport didn't win a state title, and that was Hap senior year, and they had one bad half of basketball that did them in. And that's how dominant that team was, but they had one bad half, and that stopped prevented them from winning a sectional, playing in a super sectional, and I think winning a state title. And that's why basketball is one of those sports so tough to get along the tournament trail. So we'll have that tonight, potentially next week. Our schedule's kind of up in the air with postseason girls basketball and just kind of picking out the games to wind down regular season. And then we'll have coverage of the regionals and boys basketball the following week. And then I was looking at the calendar. 2 weeks from Monday is the official start of spring sports, with baseball and softball practice beginning on Monday, February the 26th.
I wonder who we'll be talking about then.
Yeah. Well, new coach. I mean, that's the big storyline there. But also, you know, I see on a lot of the social media accounts, it's so awesome about Coach John Nelson, who's no longer the head coach of Rockridge softball, but still highly invested in that program and with the kids he coached, texted us what time, like yesterday morning, and said, "Hey, Peyton Brown," was that her first at bat as a
I think it was her second at bat,
and gets an RBI, two RBI base hit against the Michigan Wolverines.
Tie the game in the
sixth.
Doesn't
surprise me,
no,
right?
Not at all. That kid
walks up there with her hitting shoes on, as I say.
She is as good as they come. I think she'll have a very, very, very successful career collegiately. And I said the other day, I mean, with like how prevalent transferring is, I wouldn't be surprised if she ends up playing Power 5 by the end of her career. I mean,
she'd be interesting to watch.
Starting as a freshman right away at a Division I program, pretty impressive for Peyton Brown. So we're rooting for her and the Redbirds and Bayla Bogner too, right?
Yeah,
at Illinois
on
State.
That team, yep. So awesome. So again, the spring sports season underway collegiately. All right, we'll have Illini basketball coming up in the noon hour and 1 o'clock tip off out in East Lansing, and then Rockridge Rocket basketball tonight at 7 o'clock. And I think here in a couple of weeks, we'll have St. Louis Cardinals spring training baseball on before too long as well, as that's just around the corner. All right, you'll hear Ty Taylor next at 7 o'clock tonight from Riverton, Illinois, as Rockridge takes on Breeze Central. Illini basketball coming up in the noon hour for Ty Taylor. Jim Taylor saying good morning, everyone, from the downtown Aledo studios.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ. Today's program has been brought to you by 614-0-RUN in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude Shoes and Birkenstock Sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine Work Boots, office specialists in Galesburg, and Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more. And by your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business. The proceeding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice in Western Illinois.